Live, Radio Row.
What I'm talking about, baby.
Hey, keep talking.
Going to the Super Bowl, baby.
Welcome to The Drive.
Dan Quinn, in year two, has taken Atlanta to the Super Bowl.
This is The Drive with Carmichael Dave, Katie Christensen, and Nate Goodyear. Live, Radio Row. At Super Bowl 51, Houston, Texas.
The New England Patriots will play one more game.
Extra motivation for you this year.
Nah, this is my motivation right here, all these fellas right here.
Presented by Jiffy Lube. We've got you covered.
We've got you covered.
You know I'm getting the ball. They know I'm getting the ball tonight, too.
At Super Bowl 51. Sports 1140 KHCK.
Oh, I'm getting the ball. Oh, I'm going to get the ball tonight.
Broadcasting live from the Coors Light Studios.
Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. With great beer comes great responsibility.
Super Bowl 51, the George R. Brown Convention Center, Houston, Texas.
Ain't too much talking to be going on tonight. All about hitting.
The Drive with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
Drink it up, Radio Row, final day of our coverage. We've been here since Monday evening. Sports 1140 KHTK. Want to remind you, it's time to save money at the pump. Text Dave to 83835 now. Save a quarter a gallon at participating Shell locations on your second fill-up. And as always, we're appreciative of Jiffy Lube making all of this possible. Six-time Pro Bowler, world champion with the Baltimore Ravens. And I don't know if I want to say borderline fitness model or just a fitness model. And a prime example of, you know how they say they're student-athletes. A prime example of a guy who really didn't care much about his education, just kind of snuck his way into the NFL. I don't even remember what school he went to, but it's kind of a garbage school. It's Matt Burke. Matt, it's Dave. Nate, how are you?
I'm great. And I was thinking about a career in fitness until I started partaking in this beautiful buffet that you have here with the cheese in a can.
Yep.
And Snickers.
We got to make sure we drag genetic lottery winners down to our level.
You got to fuel the machine somehow. That's the way to do it.
Just so people don't think I was being overtly rude to Mr. Burke, that's an inside joke. He's a Harvard graduate. He's a Harvard grad.
He's Harvard.
Harvard.
Yes, thank you.
It's a great story, not just that you're a Harvard guy, but that you're from St. Paul, which, by the way, lived there for about 13 months, my sort of college years. Only time in my life my legs have ever frozen on a walk.
Yeah, you 13 months, you did one winter, and you said, that's enough. I'm tapping out.
Matt, you're 100% right. I walked two blocks down to a liquor store in February, and I'm not joking when I say my legs were frozen because I didn't dress right. I lived on Minnetonka Avenue right there.
Sure, sure.
And it's one of those things where in California, you keep a survival kit for, call a tow truck, this, that, whatever. You might be inconvenienced if your car breaks down. In Minnesota, if your car breaks down and you're not prepared, you'll die.
That's true. That's true. Well, next year you'll get a chance to kind of, take on that cold again if with the Super Bowl there.
That's gonna be weird. I mean, it's a great city. Don't get me. I'm not gonna rip.
Everything's pretty much indoors, like around that area, isn't it? Don't they have like a
walkway, skyways?
The whole second story of the downtown is connected by sky. I mean, you can go miles and not go outside. It's true.
Pretty cool.
It's true.
Nate, one of the things that I experienced. This is not going to be a complete Minnesota interview here, but one of the things that
people in Sacramento want to know.
Yes, they inquiring about. We're doing a Minnesota tourism special right now. People out there, and I did this one time, Nate. You get in a car and you drive. Now, when they say 10,000 lakes, Minnesota, 10,000 lakes, that's literally an understatement. There's more. I want to say it's like 12 or 13.
I think it's like 17,000, 18,000. Yeah.
Wow. Lakes.
Legit lakes.
You drive out onto a lake. You're driving, and you don't even sometimes. I didn't realize we were on the lake until we were, three football fields on.
In the winter.
In the winter. Yes, in the wintertime. Thanks, man. Yeah, exactly.
I was wondering where that was going.
Yeah, exactly. They have these little huts, and you get in these huts, and they're heated, and some of them are very nice.
Yes, yeah.
They cut a circle in the lake. You drop your fishing pole in there, and you just sit there and drink and fish. But the best part
more
is
drinking than fishing. Yeah.
That's exactly
well, that's
right.
Fishing in general, isn't it?
And the best part is you're sitting there, it's a nice, calm, relaxing environment. You're with your buddies. You're having a drink. My pulse was about 180 the whole time because the lake cracks
audibly.
Oh yeah.
No while thanks. You're sitting there. I had no fun with that, Matt, but it was an experience.
You get used to it. You get used to it after a
I'll
while.
Bet you do.
Yeah. We have soft water and then hard water in the winter.
Dear Lord.
Do you, as a Harvard grad, do you get used to people treating you like a novelty being in the NFL? Like you hear that about Ryan Fitzpatrick all the time. Yeah. It's like it's attached to him all the time. Hey, you know, he's from Harvard. Hey, you're kidding me. I'd never heard that
before. Well, Fitzy, just in case anybody's wondering, like he could have gotten into Harvard without football. I think he's a perfect 1600 SAT guy.
Holy
he actually belonged at Harvard. I think, as you guys know, and now your listeners know, as I've been on the air for 2 minutes, you said snuck in. I did sneak in to Harvard. You know, their admissions board isn't perfect. They make some mistakes, and they certainly did with me.
Right.
But, you know, I'll take it. I'll take it.
Well, and then you get out of it, and we'll talk about your playing career here in a second, but you get done with football and you had a phenomenal career, but then your post career, and I love seeing this out of athletes, you know, you could go sit on an island and there's nothing wrong with that, but you've been insanely active in a number of different things. And one thing we want to make sure to talk about, you know, a little bit of the Gridiron Greats, the Independence Fund, sending guys to the Eisenhower Center in Michigan, and the comparisons here, and we want to be careful because the NFL is
correct.
It is correct. Just not the military. However, you're relying on teammates. They are different types of violence, obviously. And you found, and I think this is very interesting, you guys found that there are some similarities between the military mindset and ex-players and how they think.
I think you're exactly right. There are so many similarities to the population. It's just kind of how we're wired.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I played, I was fortunate to play for coaches who would bring military active and retired in to watch practice and talk to the team. And I was always amazed. Every military person that talked to us would always talk about the respect they had for us as football players, which was, I mean, it seemed ridiculous, you know. But when a lot of these folks are deployed, their joy, the thing that they look forward to every week would be watching their NFL team play. You know, it'd be 3 a.m. in Afghanistan, but they would get up and they would watch their team. And so they really appreciated what we did. And we found with this model, when you pair retired football players and military together, they're similar, but there's a mutual respect there. You know, as football players, we obviously respect what they do. They respect football players. And what we found was when you pair these populations together, they actually heal better and stronger and faster. They can encourage each other. They can support each other. And so, you know, it sort of happened kind of by accident, but we thought, hey, you know, and we're talking about helping the guys who are, you know, on the edge. I mean, the guys that are the worst guys that are having suicide ideation and who really need help. And so, you know, we'll try anything because these guys, you know, with traumatic brain injury, the price that they've paid is just too high. So we'll try whatever we can that works, and we think we found a winner here.
Matt Burke is joining us on KHTK. Now, I mean, aside from, like, maybe being a decent person, you could have taken all your NFL money and sat on it. And you know, you're not obligated to do any of this stuff. So what is it about you that, you know, makes you reach out like that and put your playing career towards something good?
You know, so I was a rookie in 1998, and things started getting really good for NFL players about 94 with free agency, and the money started to get real. But I was playing with guys when I was a young player who had walked the picket line in 87.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the union would come in and tell us how good things were, but they would say, hey, look, it hasn't always been like this. You know, a lot of guys sacrificed a lot, and they didn't get to reap any of the financial benefits. Mm-hmm. You know, they were doing it for the generation to come. And I think it was 06 or 07, Kyle Turley, another current player who's my age, donated a game check to Gridiron Greats, Mike Ditka's organization, and I said, you know, to help out retired players who were in dire need. And I thought, that's a good idea. You know, I'm grateful for having this opportunity and making this stupid money to play this game. So I did the same. And so I've been involved since then, and I'm still on the board for Gridiron Greats. And I just feel like it's the right thing to do. And you know, if you can help somebody out, you know, I mean, why not?
Yeah.
Why not? I mean, I actually don't have any money. I have 8 children, so I'm broke. so it's no big deal. But I really feel honored to do this. And I enjoy it too. I enjoy being around. You know, as a retired player, that's what you do. You get around with the guys. You tell stories. You bond. You sort of have that locker room atmosphere. And so, it's important work, but I enjoy it.
Well, it's not just writing a check either. I mean, it it takes your time, and that's what's important. Like, I'm reminded of an old Larry David joke where he says, I'd rather have, like, thieves, if you have thieves in your house, they want your stuff. Neighbors want your time. He said, I'd rather give up things than my time.
That's true.
It takes a lot more commitment.
Well, again, I mean, you know, so many have given so much to this game, and I'm talking, you know, from a generation or two or three before, and we can't forget that, you know, and it's easy to do it and sort of think that, hey, I'm making all this money because I'm so great, but that's not the case. And so, you know, I just figure it's the least I can do is beat the drum for this cause.
After the impactfund.org, if you want to donate. And last question, we're Matt's first interview of many today, so
oh,
I told
boy.
Him before we'll
I'm
set
fresh.
The,
yeah, yeah.
We'll set the bar low for him. Matt, I've been very vocal on the show. I'm not a fan of the Players Association at all. I don't think they do, and I know they have their work cut out for them. I don't think they do a good enough job with you. I think football players, for what they do, are the least taken care of and most underpaid, and their contracts are the worst of the three professional major sports in America. You're a Harvard guy. You're a smart guy, and you're very active. Have you ever – is that – I wonder – and no disrespect to the current people in charge, but I wonder if Matt Burke was in charge of the NFL Players Association, if things might be a little different.
Well, you know, throughout the course of my career, I was critical a few times of the PA and the leadership. And,
yep.
You know, ultimately we all want the same thing. We just want players taken care of.
Yep.
And you know what? I don't know if players are making $10 million, $20 million, $50 million. It's, part of it doesn't matter because we have too many former players. Too many guys are leaving the
yep.
game and they're struggling. And
yeah.
I don't mean just struggling financially. Certainly a lot are, but just struggling with identity and purpose
yeah.
and trying to find these things. And I think, you know, that's a tough puzzle to solve, but certainly more needs to be done because, unfortunately, guys playing in the NFL, post-career, it's not going well for them. So all this great stuff, I mean, to play in the NFL is a great thing, but it ends up kind of being a detriment later on in life. And you know, I have some ideas. We don't have time to share them today, but we all certainly the league and the PA need to keep working on that because it's a big problem that shouldn't exist.
Super Bowl champ, 6-time Pro Bowler, and all around good guy there. Matt Burke joins us after the impactfund.org to donate to what is a fantastic cause. You only got 19, 20, 21 more of these, buddy.
I'm glad we start here. I better take some nutrition
yeah,
here. I'm
going
to spray the cheese straight into my mouth.
It's a day pass for you. So you get a Jiffy Lube snack station open. You come back anytime. Matt, we appreciate you.
Thanks,
time.
Guys. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Take
Thanks,
care.
Man.
We are way late. Four Down Territory is next on The Drive. 5 minutes away. Sports 1140 KHDK. Okay.
The NFL Players Association has weed, the travel ban, and concussions on their list to take to the
weed.
NFL.
Weed.
Rank them based on their importance.
Weed's number one.
I think concussions are the most important thing. I understand the travel ban and the need to talk to these guys about it because it's a real concern, not just in football, but in real life. But I really hope they are able to tighten this concussion situation a lot more. I think that should be the number one priority across the board. And then marijuana really kind of ties into this because it's a bigger problem, which is the use of painkillers, mm-hmm. the addiction to painkillers. And about 570,000 doctors have all said, marijuana versus painkillers, you take weed every time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the travel ban is a separate issue. It's kind of like you said, with as far as the marijuana and concussions, you can't have one without the other because the league needs to figure out, part of figuring out how to make it safer is figuring out how to treat those things.
Right.
And that's the end of a sentence.
Hey, second down.
Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver Antonio Brown says his reputation shouldn't be in question. So should it?
No, I don't think so. In fact, I wish that the league was full of Antonio Browns. I wish there were 53 Antonio Browns on every roster and that the league would embrace that. It would be a lot more fun. But I recognize there are a lot of people out there that wish there were zero Antonio Browns in the league. We're always going to be fighting about that.
Talent, not a question. And it sounds like teammate, not a question. What you worry about with Antonio Brown, there is no doubt he is one of the, if not the best receiver in the NFL. He's in the conversation. That's not an issue. The issue is, are you a distraction to your team? Are you a distraction in the locker room? And is it worth your talent? I say it is. I don't think his reputation, look at the numbers he puts up, and you don't hear teammates complaining about him being a bad guy. They would do that off the record if that was an issue. I'm fine with it. I'm fine with Antonio Brown.
Steve Smith has joined the NFL Network. Does he have a chance to be the greatest analyst in history?
Yep. Ice up, son. He absolutely does. There's nothing I don't like about Steve Smith. I'm sure there is. I just can't think of it. But when it comes to an entertainment value, here's my only worry with Steve Smith. Is he going to be able to be vocal enough to be an analyst? Is he going to be, you know, two-word sentence guy with the occasional quip? Or is he a guy that has an opportunity to be almost a football version of Charles Barkley, just outspoken and does not give a you-know-what? I see him having his own show someday.
Yeah, well, gosh, let's hope so. He's the greatest, not greatest receiver of all time. Mm-hmm. Right, because he's not Jerry Rice. But Steve Smith, come on, man. Let's have a catch, buddy.
Fourth down.
Edelman along with Mitchell to the right. Third and goal to go. Brady identifies the mic. Tom waits on the snap and takes it. Backs up, bouncing on his feet. Looks down the middle. Throws down the middle. Touchdown, Edelman! One more score for the Patriots.
Start
in
the
AFC Championship.
Start the buses, baby. Pittsburgh can call the buses. Bus 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Tell them heat them up. You're going back to the Berg.
Second down, 8. Green Bay showing pressure. Matt in the gun on the near hash mark. Takes a snap. Play fake to Freeman. Ryan wants to throw. Jones the catch.
Look 40. Out.
Julio into Green Bay territory. A stiff arm at the 15. 10. 5. Touchdown Atlanta. A crossing route to Julio Jones for 73 yards.
So here we go. Super Bowl 51. Patriots, Falcons. Who you got?
Give me the Patriots, baby. I've been trying all week to come up with a reason why the Falcons will have a chance. You try. But ultimately, what are they going to do? Beat them on the run? Like, are they going to beat them running the ball? No, they're not going to. And you know that Julio Jones and Matt Ryan are going to get shut down. So can they beat the Patriots on the ground? No. Patriots are going to win.
First is the obvious, which is you got to play the game. And both teams are good, and anything can happen. So that's the obvious answer. But behind that, I think too often in sports we try to outthink ourselves. Could the Falcons win on Sunday? Of course they could. They're a good team. But I'm with you. I don't want to outthink this one. I've tried to convince myself all week about the Falcons, and I get that they have a tremendous offense. But the Patriots have just run through the NFL this year like warm butter, and Tom Brady missed four of those games. They had two losses in the regular season. They've just strolled through, and they just look like a team that's impossible to beat. Again, Atlanta could win. That's fine. But if I'm picking a team, I'm picking the Patriots. I'm picking the Patriots by 10 points. That's four down territory. We will
it's
break.
It's got to be three at least.
We move along. Brooklyn Decker is going to join us at 7:45. And Darren Collison in the 8 o'clock hour. Chris Landry is next. We'll be there in 3 minutes on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. Want to thank Jersey Mike's for all their help, as always, with Four Down Territory. Two Sacramento area locations, 624 Watt Avenue in the Arden Town Center. Fulton Marconi in the Town and Country Village. Get your subs. Don't forget, serve Mike's Way. Onions, lettuce, tomatoes, oil, vinegar, and spices. Sounds like Dave's Way. Jeez, yeah. That's how I like my sandwiches. Yeah. All right, so Brooklyn Decker will join us in about 15 minutes. Stay tuned for that. And right now, Chris Landry joins us, as he does every week, or he will join us, I'm told in my ear, because I'm not back in the studio. He's not there. That'll give me a chance to thank Jiffy Lube as well. JiffyLubeCA.com. Get your big, powerful coupons online. Over 27 different locations, and they are our sponsor for Radio Row. So just in case you're wondering, and of course I'm sure you are, it is a big second half of the program. It is Super Bowl Friday. 48 hours, well, about 55 hours from now.
Something like that.
Yeah.
72?
Yeah, carry the one over there. Is that right? Hold on. What is today, Friday? It's Sunday, right? Okay, there you go. They'll be playing an actual game still to come today. Obviously, Brooklyn Decker is going to join us. Darren Collison will join us in the 8 o'clock hour, probably about 8:15.
Darren Collision?
D-Mac from that Denver station.
That Denver station.
Yeah, he's going to come over and join us. And then Derek Brooks, Hall of Famer.
See if you can keep yourself together.
No chance. Absolutely no chance. And the only autograph I'm going to ask for all week, former Florida State linebacker Derek Brooks will join us at 8:30.
I love the Hall of Famers. Like, we haven't got, I mean, we've had plenty of great guests through here, but for some reason this year, not all of the Hall of Famers have been wearing their jacket, which is something I noticed last year. Most of them did. And my favorite thing that I learned is that all of them are individually numbered. And that just
right.
And so I always got to ask, what's your number? Because just imagine being able to say to someone that maybe is talking smack at you, just being like, "Well, I'm number 171. Who are you?"
Wonder who number one is.
That's a good question.
Who number one is?
Who's number one? Jerry Rice.
You know,
number one in my heart.
Number one in my book is Chris Landry. He joins us from LandryFootball.com, as he does every week. And no week more important than this one for Chris Landry to join us as we are down in Houston. Hey, want to make sure you go to LandryFootball.com. Chris has an excellent, excellent breakdown of this game, and it's an X&O-style article. So for all you football hounds out there that want the scouts' take on this thing, Chris Landry's your guy. Chris, it's Dave and Nate. Katie off today. Sorry about that. How are you?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you?
Doing good. You know, I'm thinking. We've been down here all week at Radio Row, and wondering, Chris, you got to get that. I can see you going from station to station to station, Chris Landry knowledge.
I did that for about 7 or 8 years at Fox Sports Radio, and I had enough of that circus. In the last 2 or 3 years, I did it, you know, because I was asked to do it. But it's just such a busy time, and the game to me, if I could go in and out for the game, that might be something I'd consider. But the whole week in doing all those radio shows, I enjoy being on with you guys, but doing all of them, I don't know if I could handle that anymore.
Yeah, it's a bit of a circus, man. But hey, let's with all the circus, we actually haven't gotten that much of an opportunity. We talk about the game a little bit, but so many people coming through here. So
it's amazing. That's exactly what it is, isn't it? It's everybody hawking something. And it's like, oh, by the way, it's Friday. We had to talk about the game.
That's exactly it. So let's do that. Let's break down the X's and O's. I mean, I've been trying to talk myself into this being a game. Atlanta being able to keep up. We know their offense is good, but I can't shake the fact that with 2 weeks of preparation, Bill Belichick's going to be able to shut down that offense. Tell me I'm wrong.
Well, listen, every Super Bowl New England's played's been close. I mean, lost two close. They won one very close against Seattle and won on a field goal against the Rams and the Panthers. I mean, you name it. Most of these games have been close. I expect this one to be close. I do think this is going to be the toughest preparation defensively for Bill Belichick. This is an Atlanta team that has a multitude of weapons. It's going to take New England's best effort to win this game. Anything less than that, and they probably come out on the short end. I mean, Atlanta is the more complete team in terms of overall talent. I do wonder and look and say what defense is likely to come up with a couple of stops and maybe get an extra possession for their offense. And that's probably the team that's going to win the game. And certainly with Bill's pass, I would give them an edge at maybe coming up with a stop here or there. But shutting down this Falcons offense, that's not going to happen unless the Falcons just make a ton of unforced errors, mistakes, drops, and whatnot. I think the challenge is going to be taking away everything. They're going to have to meet the backs at the line of scrimmage. They're going to have to roll coverage towards Julio Jones. And what Bill will probably do is put his second-best corner on Julio Jones and roll a safety that way. But Matt Ryan is very, very good at getting the ball to the open guy and hitting 13 different receivers for touchdowns is an indication that if he has any time at all, he'll get it done. On the other side, real quickly, this is maybe the key, is Atlanta's defense has not been real effective preventing after-catch yardage and not been as effective in the red zone. Those are the two strengths of New England's offense. So I think it's going to be a close one. It could go either way, quite frankly. Maybe a slight edge to New England, but very slight.
Chris Landry with us on KHDK. If we're sitting here next week talking about an Atlanta Falcons victory, is it going to be something like a huge game from Mohamed Sanu? Is that what it's going to end up being?
It's going to have to be, you know, guys that complement Julio Jones. Now, they'll stack the formation. They'll put them in bunch sets to prevent him, you know, from getting checked at the line of scrimmage. But Julio Jones will get his catches, but I'd be surprised if Julio Jones is the main guy beating New England. It's going to be Mohamed Sanu. It's going to be Tyler Gabriel. It's going to be, you know, Levante Adolo, the tight end, or Austin Hooper. It's going to be somebody like that that's making big plays, because I don't see them allowing the backs to beat him, or, you know, Julio Jones to beat him.
On the Patriots side, if you were going to pick an offensive player that might have a, I don't want to say a breakout game, but someone that is going to be tough to stop and could potentially blow up, who are you looking at?
Well, it could be a guy like a Deion Lewis. It could be, you know, maybe LeGarrette Blount with not a lot of yardage, but maybe some key yardage running the football. I think, listen, they're very, very balanced, and what makes that offense go is those quick underneath routes. And I think that Atlanta's going to have to do a really good job of checking them off the line of scrimmage. If they allow them to get free, you know, the key to slowing down Brady is you've got to get good interior pressure combined with pressing the receivers off the line of scrimmage. If you don't do both, you're going to get beat. It's as simple as that. And if you end up, he ends up getting nine possessions in a game, they usually win. So it's about being able to make some big plays. And let's call it like it is. We can talk strategy. As you mentioned, I've got two different breakdowns of the game where you're going over individual player matchups and the X's and O matchup. And those are all important. Those are all the how-tos. But in the end, it's about making something happen, a ball bouncing a certain way. And the team that ends up with the most offensive possessions in this game is probably going to win because there's a definite advantage for the offenses here against the defenses.
Chris Landry joining us on KHTK. You can scout everything. X's, O's, this guy, that guy, stats. How do you factor in, and should you factor in, the intangibles, the experience of Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and so many on that Patriots team and so few on that Atlanta team? Chris, is that overrated? Is that aspect overrated, or do you have to factor it in?
It's very much overrated, but there's nothing wrong with experience. I mean,
sure.
Brady's been there. He's done it. I mean, that's all positive. But, you know, he didn't have a lick of experience when he took that team down on the drive against the Rams. And you know, he didn't have even a great game. But in the pressurized moment, it was Brady with no experience that did it. If you look on the history, it's just about who plays the best. I mean, who's the best team who plays the best? We've seen in past years teams – and look at the Buffalo Bills. They had the experience. They had talented teams. The Cowboys come in and just popped them in the mouth and beat them like about 40, by about 40 points or 35, whatever it was. I think it's about players making plays, and I think it's definitely overrated in terms of, well, this guy's played in this moment. I think what really helps with experience is the preparation of how you handle the entire magnitude of the moment leading up to the game, but during the game, it's about what you do in any other game, making good calls, putting your guys in position to win, and players making plays. So I think if New England wins it, you know, it'll be thrown in as well as experience. They're going to have to play well, and I just don't see Atlanta coming in playing, you know, scared and turning the football, you know, with a bunch of unforced errors. I mean, it might happen. If you look at history, it just usually doesn't happen that way. The best team usually wins. We'll see how it plays out. I will say this. If somebody turns the football over early and they get down, history in the Super Bowl suggests that the lead gets bigger and bigger because then you start to see a little bit of a panic set in. That's where it could be real interesting. Who can control the football a little bit more offensively? We talk about high scoring and offensive advantages, but you know, if you can put sustained drives and get 7 points off of a 4 or 5 minute drive, that's going to be more valuable than scoring in 2 minutes, I can tell you. Unless, you know, it's a 2 minute offense at the end of the half or the end of the game, obviously.
The voice you hear is Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com. I want to semi-shift gears here. The 49ers have been adding to their front office. They grabbed a guy out of Denver by the name of Adam Peters. He's gotten a lot of positive reviews. What can you tell us about him?
Adam is a very good young evaluator and essential. Obviously, when you have you know, a general manager that has no background in coaching or scouting, it is just pivotal that you have the right people put in place. And Adam, along with Matt Russell and Tom Heckert, have been the reason why the Broncos are successful. You know, people on the outside look in and say, oh, John Elway's done a great job. Well, he has, but he's a figurehead GM, and those are the football guys that are making the football decisions. Adam is a huge, huge get for John Lynch, who's going to need obviously a lot of help.
Well, and that's I wanted to kind of follow up on that by asking you, if John Elway is willing to let this guy go, what does that say about his thoughts on John Lynch?
Well, it's nothing to do with letting him go. He can't keep him. I mean, he's got a promotion. So
gotcha.
When you've got somebody who's a director of college scouting and he's going to get the head personnel job, you can't. It's like saying, you know, I got a great coach here, but I'm not going to fire my head coach. You know, so he's part of a really good staff. But John's not letting him go, and in fact, it's a huge loss for the Broncos. But what can you do when a guy gets the head job? The other option would have been to fire Tom Heckett or Matt Russell. Well, really, Matt Russell. Really, Adam is going to have a job that's very similar, you know, to the head, you know, personnel guy as Matt Russell. So that's just a circumstance that you can't avoid.
Chris, we always appreciate your time. Big week, and we got a guest here. So do me a favor, just tell everybody how they can reach us.
Check it. We've got a discount. Use the code 51 if you sign up before the Super Bowl, and that'll get you the entire year of LandryFootball.com. It goes back to regular price next week, but 51 gets you all the breakdowns inside the film room.
Appreciate your time, Chris. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, that is Chris Landry. Check him out at LandryFootball.com. We're live here, Radio Row, Super Bowl 51. And we will
get your friend under control, Dave.
I mean, yeah, we're still a radio show. Here, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Oh, I got a buddy here who's trying to chat up our next guest who joins us right now. Now, Brooklyn Decker needs absolutely no introduction.
But you're going to do it anyway, aren't you?
But I'm going to do it. But I'm going to do it very quickly. More of her, less of us. Brooklyn, I'm Dave. That's
hey, Dave.
Nate. Thanks for joining
hey.
Us. How
Hi.
Are
How's
you?
It going? Good. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Radio Row Super Bowl, huh?
That's yeah. It's pretty good.
I'm sure you're used to, you know, crazy circus atmospheres and media and back and forth and all that, but this kind of is a different animal.
This is very different. This is very different. It's highly concentrated, right?
Yes.
It's a very highly concentrated version of the circus, but it's pretty cool. I was down at the NFL Experience earlier, and very, very cool setup. And, I mean, we're at the Super Bowl. How much better can it get?
My wife is a huge fan of yours.
She
also made me to say at the beginning of the interview, like she has anything to worry about. It's Brooklyn. She's like, you know, you mention your wife's a huge fan. I think that's kind of a subliminal way of saying, you know how that works.
Yeah. No, that
Hands
makes
off.
Me feel good.
Right.
That makes me feel like when someone says their wife is a fan, that means more to me. No offense than like a
right.
you know well, that's no, cool.
You probably have dealt occasionally with the you know creepy. You know,
well,
I mean, it comes, well, comes with the territory.
You know,
how were you discovered? Is what she wanted me to ask.
She wanted. I was discovered at a mall.
That's
my mom.
So she mentioned, and
yeah.
I,
so
speaking
of like kind of creepy,
kind
right?
of creepy. I was discovered in a mall. I was 14 years old, and yeah, walking in a mall, and a girl recognized me, and she thought it was from modeling. It turns out we actually ran track at opposing high schools, but she said to me, "You should get into this." And I thought, like, oh, that's a cool way to make money for school. That sounds like a nice option. So I started locally in North Carolina and then got very lucky.
Wow.
Brooklyn Decker's with us on KHTK. You know, you do these kind of circus mill type of things, and I imagine that there are plenty of people that, you know, guys and stuff, they ask you a question or whatever it is. Like, what's the most common thing that you get where a dude thinks he's being slick, like on air or something, that just kind of makes you roll your eyes and you got to tough it off?
That's
as a pro.
Well, yeah, I most guys, I got to say, are pretty respectful. I feel like I've been here so many years that I know a lot of these guys now.
Uh-huh.
But the same question I get that's a little bit of an eye roll, but, you know, but it's understandable is, so you from Brooklyn? Where's Brooklyn from? You from Brooklyn? Which, I mean, it's understandable because it's a weird name, and like, who's named Brooklyn that's not from Brooklyn? But I am, and yeah, so that's one I've heard a lot. So it's not a huge eye roll. I've just heard it a lot.
What's it like being married to a guy who can hit a tennis ball really, really, really fast?
It's pretty great. Pretty great.
Seems like a cool cat, and I'm not just saying that because he's your husband.
He's a cool guy.
The personality beyond tennis. Now, were you always a fan of tennis, or did Andy kind of help you become a bigger fan?
He made me a fan. I had actually never seen a tennis match live,
oh, wow.
And we started dating, and I sat through one of his matches, and his best friend sat next to me and was like, okay, so this is 15, this is 30, sure. This is love. And I was like, that doesn't make sense. Like, this doesn't add up. Why are we going in increments of 15 then 10? This makes no sense. But he explained everything to me, and then obviously at this point I'm a huge tennis fan, but that happened through Andy. And I agree, he's a really nice guy.
Seems like it.
Really cool guy.
I don't know him as well as you, but he seems like
I hope you don't. He's a really, really good guy. He's very funny. Very funny.
You are here, and you're doing there are a lot of charities out. Yeah, it's Super Bowl Radio Row. People are going around, and they're either selling stuff or doing it. Sure. It doesn't get much better in the Special Olympics.
Agreed.
It really doesn't. How did you get involved, and what are you up to now?
So my aunt is a Special Olympics athlete, so I've been involved for a really long time. She's in tennis and basketball, and I just saw what a difference it made in her life and what a difference it can make in the community. So when I started working in this crazy business that is acting and modeling, I reached out to them and said, hey, I'm a fan of you guys and what you do. How can I be involved? And so I've been a global ambassador for years, and I'm here with Sherita Taylor, who is a figure skater, and you guys can't see them on the radio,
oh,
but you
man.
Can. You yes. guys here can see there are 6 gold medals around her neck.
Wow. I bet you could hear them. Make yeah. them jingle.
There you go. There you go. There you go.
That's awesome.
And she's competing in the World Games in Austria representing Team USA next month, starting March 14th.
That is fantastic. I'm throwing off because I'm looking at looking at all the gold. And on top of that, figure skating is not easy at all.
No, it's not.
Jeez.
It takes a certain amount of balance and a lot of years of experience. And wow.
Yeah, I'll bet. I'm seriously. And probably not good for your posture holding on to all that gold around. You having fun going around with Brooklyn?
Yeah, it's been fun. We've been really chill.
That's awesome.
We've had a good time. And she, by the way, has a whole pile at home. This is just the tip of the iceberg. The medals that she has.
You do have to start with that young, huh? I tried ice skating for the first time just a couple of years ago. It was a disaster. It's not a good start.
It's like a little blade. It's not wheels.
It's a knife.
It's a knife
that you have to balance on, and she's doing it, doing her jumps and turns and
better than anybody.
USA. Yeah.
That's good.
It is a fantastic cause. Make sure you check out the hashtag Austria2017, also at Austria2017 or at, of course, Special Olympics. We know you got a line going here, Brooklyn. We appreciate your time. I want to ask you have what many would say is a charmed life. You have a beautiful husband, a great career. Everything's great. Honestly, and not the, like, I'm appreciative of my life kind of thing. We know you are, but really, what's the worst part about being you?
I mean, it's pretty good. It's pretty
There's
good.
There's got to be something where you're like.
Life is pretty good. Goodness.
Grocery store and that.
No, I mean, we live in Austin, Texas. So, like, we have the perfect balance where I get to work in this crazy business, but I'm not around it. Like, I'm not dealing with people hounding me. Not that I would normally, but Austin, you know, it's so low-key. You're away from L.A. and everything that is Los Angeles. So, I feel like we've really, you know, managed to have this, like, very quote-unquote normal life outside of a crazy job.
What about the whole thing? You're like world-class supermodel, and you just want to roll to a Safeway in PJs and bunny slippers. Like, do you have to do the thing where...
Happens all the time.
So, like, you're not worried about, oh, paparazzi, no. I have to put this
never.
On?
Never.
You don't care?
You know, I never.
Good.
I mean, I'm not that famous. But B, what I get more often than not is someone will come up to me and they're like, hey, we went to school together, right? Did you go to so-and-so high school in Minnesota? And I'm like, no. They're like, no. We totally went to school. So I get that thing where people...
Right.
Think that they know you from, you know, school, which is great.
So all in all, it's pretty good being you.
Life is pretty good.
Life's pretty good.
Right now, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, that's...
We'll see.
Say hi to Andy for us.
I will.
We appreciate it.
We're buddies for life.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I'll tell them you guys.
BFFs.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so again, at Austria 2017 or at Special Olympics, get on the hashtag at Austria 2017. Sherita Taylor, Brooklyn Decker, thank you both so much for your
thank
time.
You for having us.
Oh, hey, good luck to you. Not,
thank you.
Doesn't look like you need much luck, though.
Stack them up.
She doesn't.
Thank you.
She's got
this
down.
It's funny they say the more you practice, the luckier you get. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys.
We'll take a break. We're back in 3 minutes right here on Sports 1140 KHDK.